Well, hello, everyone. Deanna Allen here, ready to share something the Lord has laid on my heart of how we can go beyond breakthrough. The 21-day adventure of empowering you for breakthrough was so powerful, and those of you who actually started the class yesterday will know that we were feasting, and we've been identifying where pride can hide. And during these live calls, I really wanted to talk about some foundations of where bondage can really come in and hold us, because there actually is an area that is beyond breakthrough, and it's an area that many people never even get to it. So this is a fun topic for me. I love it. Those of you who heard our call last week heard that I'm the prison lady, just kind of designed by God to set people free from the prisons that we live in. I was never arrested, but lived for many years inside of an emotional and spiritual prison.
Well, it appears that we have temporarily lost Deanna Allen. I know that she will call back in. I am not surprised by this. This message is powerful. So let's just pray, and Deanna will get back on the line with us. Lorette, maybe you can text her and let her know that we have got her back. Deanna.
Well, it's always an amazing adventure in my life.
Yeah. Okay. She's back, people. Go ahead, Deanna.
So anyway, I firmly believe that there are plots and patterns that have been set out. We see in the Word of God that my people perish for lack of knowledge, and I think that there are some tactics of our enemy, the one whose plan is to steal, kill, and destroy us, that he not only utilizes the fact that we're unaware, but he counts on that fact. He is totally, perfectly fine utilizing that against us. I want to kind of lay a foundation, and we're going to be looking at a few key areas. Tonight we are going to be looking at the sins of the fathers and how these generational patterns might have even been in existence, might have even had monuments built before we were even born. And yet the results of those sins may still be showing up in our lives. So this is going to be the first order of housekeeping that we're going to do. Father, tonight we come in your precious Son's name asking for an open heaven where we can simply stand, sit, lay like my sister Donna does to receive all that you have for us, our families, our cities, and every place that you command us to go. We declare today that it is better to spend one day in your courts than 1,000 anywhere else. We would rather be a gatekeeper in your house than live in the homes of the wicked. So tonight, help us to identify where our homes need to be swept clean. Show us the areas of our hearts and minds that do not line up with your good and perfect will. Shine the light of truth so that all darkness will flee, and any areas where we have given the enemy ground will be revealed and removed. For those of you who listened to the call before, you heard one of our verses that we are standing on during this breakthrough time, and it can be found in Isaiah 58:12. In here, we also see some of the promises that we are standing on as we are doing the necessary work to press in and break through during this time. We see in this that the ruins of our past will be rebuilt. I'm standing still on some promises of ruins from my past and my parents' past and my grandparents' past that I know I am willing to wage the warfare necessary, and that the battle has already been won. I'm just doing my part to see it. We're raising up foundations of many generations. This promise that we are standing on, these proclamations that we are making, it's going to be worth it all, because we are going to send blessings to generations that may live beyond the time that we are alive. These principles are so powerful. We will repair the breaches. Some of us have holes in our armor where the warfare and the battle have found their way in. And we will restore the peace of the streets we dwell in, including the hallways of our own homes. That's right. We're going to restore the peace of the streets that we dwell in, including the hallways of our own home. So Isaiah 58:12 says this, "And your ancient ruins shall be rebuilt. You shall raise up the foundations of buildings that have laid waste for many generations, and you shall be called repairer of the breach, restorer of streets to dwell in. You shall be called repairer of the breach." You, me. So for these next 21 days, we're going to be doing some dismantling as well as rebuilding. And I just know that every day is going to be a new adventure as you read, listen, and write to the processes that God himself ordered for this breakthrough. Right now, I want to talk about faith, because without faith, it's impossible to please God. And in order to walk in faith, we have to dismantle unbelief. Unbelief is a sneaky stronghold, just like pride. It can hide. We don't really know when we are operating in unbelief. So I have a challenge for change question to start out with tonight. Whose report will you believe? Whose report will you believe? Are you really standing on the report of the Lord for your life, for your family's life, for your children, for your spouse, for your community, for your church congregation? So maybe tonight the very first confession that we need to make is of our sin of unbelief. Father, we ask that you forgive us for the sin of unbelief. We ask that you would help us to fix our mind on truth, on what you have to say. We silence the voice of the enemy that has spoken ungodly beliefs over us through circumstances in our lives, because you said that we would know the truth and the truth would set us free, and that he whom the Lord sets free is free indeed. So we declare that this freedom that we are here possessing, we're taking it. We're taking possession of this promised land. We're declaring that we are going to experience it. One of the things that I love about all of the classes pretty much in Women's Empowerment University is a couple of weapons that we have that really help us to take things to a level that we can't otherwise get to. And these weapons are prayer and fasting. See, in order to go beyond breakthrough, I can't even comprehend in my mind, let alone know the steps that I need to do without partnering with the Holy Spirit. Jesus himself said, this kind does not come out except by prayer and fasting. He said that in Matthew 17:21. Now this he said right after sharing about faith the size of a mustard seed. He said a tiny bit of faith can move a mountain. Some things will require prayer and fasting. So we have to combine faith, and for the revelation of where some of these strongholds have become generationally rooted, where we have been deceived in our own heart, where we have been blinded and deceived, we will need to do prayer and fasting. We will need to. We will need to engage these disciplines to break through the realm of the flesh and get into the spirit, which is where this warfare is going on. In order to walk in the full authority that Christ died to provide us, we have to believe. Have to believe. And this is really pretty simple. Either we do or we don't. There isn't really a gray area. And sometimes when it comes to stuff like this, we may think that we believe, and then the Holy Spirit will show us something and we'll go into doubt. I'd like to just challenge us tonight that we cannot operate in biblical schizophrenia. Schizophrenia is literally a divided mind. Now, biblical schizophrenia is a divided mind concerning God's love and his word. If we do this, if we operate in this schizophrenic mindset towards the word, our faith is weakened and can even be destroyed. Hebrews 11:6 says, without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Double-mindedness is linked with unbelief, which cancels our faith. James 1:6 through 7 says, this is when we petition God, let him ask in faith with no doubting. For he who doubts is like a wave of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. For let not that man suppose he will receive anything from the Lord. I would like the assurance that I receive from the Lord when I come to him. And I do not like feeling like a wave of the sea being driven and tossed by every wind that blows. And we don't have to. We definitely do not have to, because God has given us authority. Authority. We have it as believers. We have authority. Isaiah 53 verse 1 says, to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? The arm of the Lord, the strength. Who has he revealed it to? Romans 10 verse 17 says, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So if we are hearing external forces, even internal forces, louder or more often than we are hearing the word of God, then we are not being built up in our faith. When the gospel of the kingdom is preached, the hearers become aware of all that the cross provides. Luke 9:1, we're shown that the disciples were given power and authority. We have it. We have it. We have power and authority. Matthew 4:23, Jesus went about teaching, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, healing all kinds of sickness and disease. If you remember some of the things that I said we were going to accomplish in these days together, one of them is we will be looking at why Jesus said that we would do greater works than even he did. And some of us, we can't even conquer the Oreo cookies. Donna and I laugh about that all the time. We can't even conquer our sugar addiction. We can't even declutter our houses. We can't even put down our smartphones from doing mindless activities for way too much time during the day. And Jesus said we would do greater works than he did. So what is it that we need to take a look at in our own lives so that we can find the answer to the question, then why aren't we? Why aren't we doing these great works? Why aren't we healing all kinds of sickness and disease? Why aren't we casting out demons? Why aren't we seeing the lame walk and the blind eyes open? Why aren't we seeing people come to Jesus? I'd like to go way back, way, way back. This is where we're going to start looking at some of the sins of our fathers and some resulting generational patterns that may have come. Deuteronomy 30, verse 19. Today I have given you the choice between life and death, between blessings and curses. Now I call on heaven and earth to witness the choice you make. Oh, that you would choose life so that you and your descendants might live. Oh, that you would choose life so that you and your descendants might live. So what happens if those before us were not choosing life? Exodus 20 verses 4 through 6 says this, you shall not make for yourself a carved image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above or that is in the earth beneath or that is in the water under the earth. You shall not bow down to them or serve them. For I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children to the third and the fourth generation of those who hate me, but showing steadfast love to thousands of those who love me and keep my commandments. That's Exodus 20, 4 through 6. Tonight we're going to define sins of the fathers. That represents the accumulation, the whole total sum of all the sins that have been committed by our ancestors. Iniquity is the heart tendency that we inherit from our forefathers to rebel, to be disobedient against God's laws and commandments, against his word, and therefore against him. This is our nature to sin, particularly in ways that represent perversion and twisted character. Now, this accumulation can continue on and on and on, generation after generation, until God's conditions for repentance have been met. This here says, Exodus 34, 6 through 7, the Lord God, compassionate and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in loving kindness and truth, who keeps loving kindness, who forgives iniquity, transgression, and sin. Yet he will by no means leave the guilty unpunished, visiting the iniquity of fathers on the children and on the grandchildren to the third and fourth generations. 1 Peter 1, 17 through 19 says this, so that we have a New Testament scripture here. And if you call on him as Father, who judges impartially according to each one's deeds, conduct yourselves with fear throughout the time of your exile, knowing that you were ransomed from the futile ways inherited from your forefathers, not with perishable things such as silver or gold, but with the precious blood of Christ, like that of a lamb without blemish or spot. We were ransomed from the ways that were inherited from our forefathers, not with anything that can perish, but with the precious blood of Christ. So a curse, a generational curse or a stronghold, empowers us to fail, but a blessing empowers us to succeed. Curses can come from all different places. They can come from God. They can come from others. They can even come from ourselves, the way that we think about things, the things that we speak. I'm never going to be able to quit drinking coffee. Never. Well, you've just spoken that over yourself, and you've taken that on as yourself. You've proclaimed that failure to succeed over yourself. But the good news is God has provided our way of freedom from all sins of the fathers and ourselves that may have brought some resulting curses or strongholds. We break generational sins by faith that God's promises are true and that Jesus has canceled the debt. Canceled the debt. That is so powerful. In Leviticus 26, 40 through 20, God gives us a pattern and a promise for freedom. If we confess our sins and the sins of our fathers, and we humble ourselves, he will remember his covenant. He remembers that we are part of his family. 1 John 1, 9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. All unrighteousness. That is so freeing for me. To read that, all, three little letter word, all, A-L-L, all unrighteousness. We can be cleansed of all unrighteousness. But we have to receive and apply the wonderful freedoms that were gained for us at the cross. And again, from the very beginning of this call, we have to do it. We receive it by faith. We break the effects of generational sin by faith. We walk in the promises in God's word by faith. We experience our new identity by faith. Colossians 2:14 says that there was a canceling out of the certificate of debt consisting of decrees against us, that he's taken it out of the way, has nailed it to the cross. You know, there's a story in the Bible that I think about pretty often when I think about this generational experience that we can have if family members before us were disobedient to God. I think of the story of Jonah. And not even so much how Jonah ended up in the belly of the big fish, but I particularly think about the part of the story where when Jonah is in his disobedience, he ends up on a ship, and the ship, everybody in the ship, is experiencing a storm. Jonah's disobedience brought about a storm, and it threatened the ship and all the sailors. And once they were persistent in their questioning, they were able to determine the cause of the storm. Some of us, we have storms in our life, and they're tossing the ship that we call our life, our marriage, our family, all around. And if we do not come to God, questioning the source of this storm, asking the Holy Spirit, where is this storm coming from? Often when we get into a process like this, this breakthrough process, we can begin to have the Holy Spirit show us places that our family members were disobedient, places that generations back we see bondage, we see different types of illnesses, we see divorce, we see all kinds of stuff. So it's very, very, very important that we go back with the Holy Spirit and ask what we are to do. I've been thinking in these last few days about idolatry. That first verse that we were reading talks about the jealous God. And idolatry, it occurs whenever we put our trust in a thing or a situation more than we put our trust in God. It's not just about a carved little wooden image or a golden calf, a statue of something that we worship. It occurs as we look for information, power, fulfillment, satisfaction in anything apart from God. And whatever that thing is, that's our area of idolatry. It creeps in when we put our life energies into things that God hates. He hates that. He said, I am a jealous God. He hates when we have things in our life that our actions show we love more than God. I know that's a lot to swallow. That's a tough one to get real honest about. But I believe that if we were to take and document how we spend our time, our treasure, our talents, if we were really honest about how we spend it all, the question really at the end of the day is, did you give God the best? Did you give God the most? Did you spend a lot of time with God? Did you love the adventure of reading his word? Did you step outside of your own needs and become the solution for somebody else's problem? We can maybe come up with things that we know are absolutely taboo. They're just off. Occult stuff, false religion stuff, psychics, witchcraft, all these things. But sometimes idolatry includes much less obvious things. Excessive love. Some of us are just downright codependent. We just do not know what to do with ourselves if we are not in the mix of everybody else's life. We're running their life. We don't even know how to separate ourselves from our life. And sometimes that can be excessive love. It can be money, possessions, beauty. Some of us obsess over our personal beauty. We spend so much time and energy on the outward beauty, on the body. We don't spend any time dealing with the inner man. Power, fame. What about ungodly causes? Anybody in the family ever stood for an ungodly cause? What might be an ungodly cause? Maybe like abortion. Somebody in the family really advocated for abortion. That's an ungodly cause. What about homosexual marriage? Stand up for it. Believe in it. Push. Put money behind it to get those laws passed for the rights of others. And they're ungodly causes. We've actually positioned ourselves against God. And sometimes our family members have done these things. Believing. I know my family members have put a lot of money behind what they believed were good causes. Good causes. Very proud of having the family name tied to these causes. Love that their names are all over these things. Those are some of the areas that I have had to break off so that my children and my children's children don't have to walk in these places. I would have to say that although we don't have a lot of idols, statues, and things of that nature, but I know how much our material things are adored. We're constantly working harder to be able to get more things, and then we have to take more time to take care of our things, and we just become absolutely suffocated. There is a period not too far back for me where God just did a radical unsuffocating of my life. Literally almost everything. Just let it go. Let it go. And the process of letting it go literally felt like a tearing away. There was so much of my identity that was caught up in lots of things. And as I let them go, the revelation and the contentment of simply knowing that I am His, there was so much freedom. I didn't realize until I had nothing left that God was all I needed. And sometimes that's what it takes. It takes us losing everything we have for us to realize that when God is all we have, we realize God is all we need. And if we can allow ourselves to stay in that place with God where He is all we have and He is all we need, we actually may come to the conclusion that He's all we've ever wanted. All of the striving, all of the searching, all of the yearning, all of the killing ourselves to try to accomplish things and collect things and have things and even have things to pass on. When we come to a moment in life when we can fully experience God without distractions, there's so much power there. Come back, I want to take another look here at some stubbornness of an evil heart. In Jeremiah 16, 11, and 12, then they say to him, "It is because your fathers forsook me, declares the Lord, and followed other gods and served and worshipped them. They forsook me and did not keep my law. But you have behaved more wickedly than your fathers. See how each of you is following the stubbornness of his evil heart instead of obeying me." It's another one, hard to swallow right there. We may look at our parents, we may look at our grandparents, and in our self-righteousness, we may believe that we are so on in our walk. And then in a time of prayer and fasting, God may peel back the deception and show us. Here it says, you have behaved more wickedly than your fathers. See how each of you is following the stubbornness of his evil heart instead of obeying me. In Jeremiah 17, 9 and 10, it tells us that the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? I, the Lord, search the heart. I try the reins, even to give every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings. We really need to examine our ways and test them. Examine our ways and test them. I strongly encourage everyone who's listening to this, during this 21 days, pray and fast, lock in with God, shut the world out for good periods of time, and listen. Listen. What does God want to show you? Where can iniquity be in your life? Where might there be lawlessness? Where might there be wickedness? Where might there be unrighteousness? Where might there be transgression? Where might there be perversion? Where? We have good news. Of course we have good news. God provided our way of freedom, not just from all of our sins, but all the sins of the Father and any curses that could have resulted. We break generational sins by faith. In just a minute, I'm going to pray. I'm going to close us in a prayer, and I will provide this prayer in writing, because this won't be a prayer that necessarily you'll be able to completely do tonight in the next 20 minutes. In fact, strongly encouraging you to pray and fast, I would suggest that you have some blank paper and keep it with you over the next days, maybe even weeks, throughout this 21-day journey. Asking God, what do we need to confess? What of our sins and the sins of our fathers do we need to acknowledge? How do we humble ourselves and receive his remedy and his sacrifice? We not only need to confess our sin, but we need to turn from it. And we need to know that God will forgive us and cleanse us. He's taken it out of the way, and he's nailed it to the cross. The certificate of debt has been canceled. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. So we don't have to be in this. He has made the way. Even I, am he who blots out your transgressions for my own sake, and I will not remember your sins. You won't remember them. This deal is done. We need to get free, and we need to be free indeed. So in part of our process on day one, we already looked at enumerating our sins, enumerating them. This is just taking it a little bit beyond. We're also going to be enumerating the sins of the fathers. So here's a prayer. We'll type this out. I'll make it available. And you continue to pray it as often as you need to, with as many things that come up as the Holy Spirit gives you. As a child of God, purchased by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, I choose to confess and acknowledge the sins of my ancestors. While I don't like the results of their sins on my life, I choose to forgive and release them and to not hold them accountable for each and every way that their sins have affected me. I now renounce all of the sins of my ancestors and release myself from their effects based on the finished work of Christ on the cross. Lord, I am sorry for all of the ways that I have entered into these same sins and allowed the curses to affect me. I ask you to forgive me for this and to wash me clean. I choose to receive your forgiveness. I affirm that I have been crucified with Jesus Christ and raised to walk in newness of life. On this basis, I announce to Satan and all his forces that Christ took upon himself the curses and judgments due me. So I break every curse that has come upon me because of my ancestors. I also break all curses that have been released onto me by others. I also break all curses that I have spoken or thought about myself. I receive my freedom from every one of these curses. All this I do on the basis of the truth revealed in the Word of God and in the name and with the authority of my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now we're going to go ahead and take the next little bit of our call, and we will open it up for our Q&A session. I'm sure that there are some testimonies pertaining to this information that somebody might say, wow, this is really a revelation. I'm really seeing some things clicking into place. And if you'd like prayer, of course, that's your opportunity, *6, so that you can jump in line to get prayer for yourself, for your family, for your marriage, for your city, help you increase in your faith, help to dismantle your unbelief, whatever we can do for you in the time that we have left. This is your time.